Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Strap Radio Show, the place where community issues are discussed, confronted, and political agendas are exposed. Feel free, whether you're live or whether you're watching at a later date, to reach out, communicate, get involved. That's what we're here for. We encourage it and we love it. So without any further ado, here's your host for the evening, Miss Nancy Plus.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to Strap Chat Radio Show. This is your host, Nancy Pless, and hey, it's been a while, but I have really missed being on the air and being able to tune in with you guys. I need to do a little radio check because for some reason I'm not able to hear my guests for the show. So if somebody can hear me, please text me and let me know that you can hear me, because I'm not hearing anyone right now. Okay, is there anybody that can hear me? Okay, awesome. Okay, awesome. Thank you, thank you. Well, on this evening, I have some special guests lined up, and let me just start out by saying, let me read the prompt for setting the stage for tonight. The posting that I put out has said, join me for one of the greatest collaboratives of intentional overlooked topics today. It can't be denied, and neither can its existence. Everybody here knows that Strap Radio Show is about raising the awareness and prevention for sex trafficking. That's what we are about. By so many, this type of auctioning, and I chose the word auctioning for a reason, and that is because most of the times our young ladies, our young girls, and even our young boys, they are actually placed on an auction block, you know, sold to the highest bidder. That's really an auctioning. Even though they are being trafficked, it's still they're sold to the highest bidder. Because some insiders have never had their story or their experience heard, many people believe the myths that traffickers voluntarily participate and they voluntarily stay in it. Tonight we're going to find out that that is not necessarily true. It is not. I'm not saying it may not apply for some, but it does not apply for everyone. And another thing is we never really hear the real reasons. I'm sorry, I just got a message. Oh, God. I'm sorry. So we never really hear the real reason as to why a lot of them have become involved in trafficking. So today I have two guests from opposite ends of the spectrum. One of them is a former juvenile corrections officer, and his name is Myron Mitchell. He'll be joining us in just a couple of minutes. And also a former, now originally I put the wrong word, so I was corrected and told that she was a former exotic dancer, and I told her that I was going to make the correction, Miss Deja Capri Alexander. And she is now, after being reformed and delivered from that lifestyle, she is now a mother of two. And so the two of them on this evening will be sharing their intel about trafficking, the things that they have become exposed to, the knowledge, the information, you know, everything that they've come in contact with. So I'm excited about tonight's lineup. So Deja Capri and Myron, please text me and let me know that you're free. So I do have them with me on tonight. And, of course, you know, we just got to make sure we get some things lined up for them to be able to freely communicate. So, again, I have missed being on the air, and I am so excited about being back tonight. A lot has been happening. Of course, we know about the stay at home. And to be honest with you, I'm not here to promote the stay-at-home campaign. That's not what this is about. But I know that it does have an impact on things that are going on in the world today. I can honestly say that in my search for any information concerning trafficking that's going on during this lockdown time, that I hadn't really been able to find anything, because for those of you that follow us on Facebook know that we post every week stories of our captives. And right now with everything going on, there's really been nothing reported, but I'm not shocked by it. But at the same time, I'm not ignorant in thinking that, you know, it just kind of like went on hold. No, it did not. I know better than that. It's just that everything with, you know, the COVID-19 is taking over all of the media. But with that being said, Miss Alexander actually is in a good spot where she can communicate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring her on the line first. And basically what we intend to do on this evening is we're, as I put in the post, we're meeting in the living room tonight. We're just going to sit in the living room and we're going to talk. That's basically what we're going to do. And just kind of hear from them what their experiences have been, you know, and how it is relative in their life. Now, notice I did say in the setup of the platform that they are formally, meaning they have had this experience before. And so it doesn't exist at the moment, but because so many times we never really get to hear someone's story, we all have a story to tell, and we all know that. It's just that some people do not see it from that perspective, and so they don't realize that they actually have a story that could benefit someone else, because let's just face it and admit it, we don't know what people are dealing with or what they are confronted with at a particular time in their life. We don't know. You know, somebody could just walk up to you and they could be going through something that you have already experienced in your life. And now you can identify with what they're sharing with you, and it gives you an opportunity to share with them how you came out of it or how you were brought out of it and what made a difference for you. That right there, my friend, is really you telling your story. Because people that are caught up in some things in life, they're always looking for a way out, especially when they have found out that it really wasn't what they thought it was going to be, especially something that they may have voluntarily put themselves in. And that's not always the case with everyone. But even those who are the victims, they are looking for a way out, and they don't know how to get out. They're looking for an answer. They're looking for an escape route. They're just looking for somebody that can talk to them and they can hear and what that person is saying, something they can try so that they can become set free. So without further ado, again, so I do have Miss Alexander on the line at the moment. Good evening, Miss Deja Capri. Can you hear me, or are you still on mute? Oh, maybe I muted the wrong line. I don't know.
Okay, there you go. You unmuted me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, sounding like Barack Obama.
Okay. What? I'm in the car driving, so I apologize.
No, it is perfectly okay, because first of all, I appreciate the fact that at the last moment you agreed to come on and just let us have this time to talk and to share. I really appreciate that. Thank you. But not everybody can about something at the last minute.
Well, you know, it's just my life story, so I'm free to tell that. You know, it's okay.
Awesome. Okay, so, and Mr. Myron, don't forget, I'm still waiting on you. We're still waiting on you because this is a three-way conversation. Okay, so, Miss Deja Capri, so tell us grateful now that you're a mom of two, but in going back to the Dotty Dancer's life, okay, what was that like? I mean, let me say this. Whether we as adults want to admit it or not, we saw a lot of that on TV. And oftentimes, as young ladies, we just fantasized on, you know, being able to get up there and dance and whatnot. We just didn't know that, you know, what it all entails. But because, you know, it, on TV, it just looked good. It looked elaborate, you know, and, as you say, look exotic. So, but,
right.
But if you
right.
share with us, what was that like for you? And, you know, how did you get involved in that?
Well, first and foremost, you can call me Deja. Please call me Deja.
Okay.
That sounds so much better. but me personally, I got into the life when I was about 19. And it wasn't something that was initially my first thought to get into. I actually went to several interviews. I had a hard time, so I would walk and I would take the bus. And I couldn't tell you how many interviews I went to. I just couldn't get a job. And I tried to do it the right way. It just was not working. My boyfriend at the time, who's currently my oldest son's dad, he and his cousin told me about dancing at a club and how it's good money and yada, 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 and all that. So, you know, I didn't have a job, so, and I needed money, so why not? I went ahead and I just got to that lifestyle. That's just how I got into it, and it wasn't because I didn't try to have a normal job. It just, there wasn't. So what do you do when you need to feed yourself and you don't have a car and you can't eat, you know? So that was just, that was what I needed to do at the time.
Okay.
So somebody else brought it to my attention is how I got into that lifestyle.
Would
I recommend that lifestyle for anyone? No, not at all. But just to answer your question, initially, that is how I got into the lifestyle. It was just, there was nothing out there. No one wanted to hire me. Who wants to hire a 19-year-old with no experience? You know, I was in school and I was living with my mom, you know, so school was my job. My parents made sure that we didn't worry about anything but school and graduating and education. So when you're out there on your own at 19 and there's nothing on your resume, who wants to hire you? So that is kind of how I got to that particular lifestyle. I just needed to eat and feed myself, and that was just survival mode, basically.
Okay.
Now,
I have to admit to you, not everyone can say they weren't coerced into the exotic dancing, you know. A lot of them can't say that they did this because, look, I'm trying to feed myself, you know. I'm trying to make some money, you know. But the fact that there wasn't some pimp that, you know, that snatched you up and put you out there like that, it does dispel one of the myths, like I said in the intro, that some of them were, you know, got in it and stayed in it and could not escape from it. But that's not the truth in your case. Even though you did it just to start dancing, you know, and you were making good money and whatnot, you didn't go in it because you were just, well, at least I haven't heard you say, because you was being, you know, just, what's the word I'm looking for?
Coerced.
Not so much that, but you weren't, it doesn't sound like you were really pushed into it, but you made a conscious decision based on where your need was at that time. And
yes,
basically that was for money. Oh, okay, go ahead.
You can say that. Now, back to, well, kind of what you're saying, that's true. In my particular case, it was brought to me by, you know, my boyfriend, his cousin, and the way that they presented it to me, it sounded great. So I can't say that I would have thought like that, but if someone's never put it in my ear, I would have never thought about it. Now, I wasn't forced, and yes, I did make my own mind, but I had to understand that my boyfriend at the time was also an ex-pimp. At least that's what he wanted to portray himself to be. You know?
Okay.
So this is how the thought came. Even though I was his supposed girlfriend at the time, he went back to what he was used to. This is how the money's made, this is easy money, so let me tell her about this, you know. And it's fine. I made my own decisions, and I was perfectly okay with it. But as I started doing it, you know, and I started to see how he thought he was about to pimp me out kind of thing, it was more so of a, no, you're not. So I made my money. I kept my money, you know, like there was, you can't control what I do with my money. So what he thought he was going to do, it didn't work out like that. So I was, I can say now looking back, I was very blessed and highly favored with a lot of situations because I did wind up in the club and I had a whole lot of pimps around me, and they always talked about kidnapping girls. This is what they did. They would go to Vegas and they would talk about kidnapping girls. But me, for some reason, bless Jesus, none of them wanted to do that with me. With them, it was more so like, because my name was Isis at the time, and that's just what it was, moving on. But they would say, Isis, why are you here? You don't belong here. This isn't your type of scene. I heard that the whole time I was in the club. So it was almost like they were afraid to touch me because they felt like I didn't belong there. So they never would kidnap me. They never talked about kidnapping me. They had so much respect for me. It was really weird because I would see how they would treat other women and how they would disrespect other dancers. But it was just weird. Mm-hmm. For me, it was almost like I was their comfort zone. I can't explain it. It was just such grace and favor. I learned that as I got older that it was grace and favor. But then I just, I don't know what it was back then. Yeah. But there are some women who got kidnapped into that life, or they get beat and scared into that life. They don't come willingly and voluntarily. So even though I wasn't a part of that, I did see that. So that is something that does happen.
Okay. So during the time that they were like, what are you doing here? What are you doing? You need to go home, whatever they were saying, you know, did you find yourself frustrated and wondering why aren't you taking, y'all not taking me seriously? I mean, did you feel that way?
No. Because it was almost like I say, it's going to sound crazy and people may not believe me, but it was such grace. Like they would not tip anybody but me. It was like, let me help you get your education. Let me help you get out the strip club. So I'm going to tip, even though I don't usually tip. I'm going to give you more, even though I don't usually give you more. It was almost like, you don't need to be here. Here's $100. You know, it was just different. It was, I can't explain it. And then when I danced at two different places in Texas, so when I moved from one place and I went to the other place, they followed me from that place to the other place, and it was just like, I just came to see you. I just can't see how you were doing. Do you need anything? And these are pimps, like hardcore pimps. Like I'm saying, I see them in the street. I see them beat women. Like I know these are hardcore pimps, but for some reason, when it came to me, I didn't get that behavior at all.
Wow.
So it was just, but they also knew I was there just to feed. I was trying to feed myself. And until I found a job or something, to be honest with you, after a while, the money was so good, I stopped looking for a job. You know, I stopped thinking about education because the money's so good, you just get caught up in a life at some point. I would like to tell you that I had my head on straight the whole time, but that's not how it works. Sometimes you get lost in there and you got to find your way out. That's real.
Now, of course, for those of you that are listening, I'm hearing Deja's story for the first time as well. But what is amazing to me is, in spite of you, Deja, you know, wanting to continue to dance and you're out there, you know, as they say, you know, doing you, these pimps are like, no, you know, you need to get from up here. You need to get your education. You need to go home, whatever. Here's a little extra. and followed you to another establishment to make sure. It was almost as if they were placed on guard duty to make sure that everything was. Yeah, I mean, now that's an amazing story because, and I'm saying that because we don't know who will hear this and it will click for them no matter where they have gone. Men have tried to help them and they didn't see it, but like of yourself, it wasn't until later that you realized it was the grace of God. I think that's awesome.
Because back then, you know, certain pens, they have certain territories or they have certain clubs. But for some reason, it was almost like whatever pimp came, they knew not to touch me. It was like, you can talk to whoever you want, but don't touch ISIS. It was almost like that. So no matter where I went, they knew not to mess with me. So, it's almost like you said, it's almost like I had my own little guard or had your protection while I was in the club. I didn't, and I know it was some prayers going out. It had to be. Because I was in a lot of situations that I shouldn't have made it out of, but I did.
Wow. And I'm glad you mentioned that because you're right. There had to have been some prayers because nothing just happens to be happening. And a lot of times when, you know, young ladies are introduced to that lifestyle, like you say, you even saw some that were mistreated as a result of being in the lifestyle, you know, and nobody really knows unless they have shared it, you know, that they, after finding out, you know, from being beaten and all that kind of stuff, they really wanted to get out. But by that time, they were too far in and couldn't get out. And that wasn't the situation with you. And so experiencing grace the way that you did, you have siblings, right? And you're the number of how many?
I'm the second of four. Second oldest of four.
So you're the only girl.
I am. It's torture.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that your brothers didn't show up.
They didn't know. My life, I can keep my life very, very private. And to this day, I never told my mom, but she told me where I was working at. She said the Lord told her I was working in the club. Mm-hmm. She told me.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So I said, who told you? She said the Lord told me you was working in the club. I was like, okay.
You feel?
It was that day forward. I knew the Lord was a snitch. It was that day. He will tell your business, boy. He does. But going back to something you said, I can't say I can't say for sure if I would have found my way out or not. I can't say if I would have never got caught up or stuck in that life. The only reason why I got out of that life is because I found out I was pregnant with my oldest son. And when I found out I was pregnant with my oldest son that day moving forward, I said he will not be raised in this life, whether in the belly or out. And I quit that day. That is what got me out.
Wow. Well, actually, what you got?
I mean, you know.
That is amazing to hear. I'm so serious. That is so amazing to hear. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I love that for real though. I love that. Oh my God. Jesus snitched on me. So obviously snitched on me. Your mama must have been praying or started praying. One or two.
It was her prayers that was hitting the heavens and muscle because he showed it to her because there was no way she could have known. I didn't have friends like that, so there was no one she could call. You know, like, I didn't have a cell phone, and if I did, I wasn't giving it to her because we weren't on good terms at the time. So it was like there was no other way she could have known. I wasn't talking to her. I wasn't talking to my dad. And if I was talking to my dad, I definitely didn't tell him I was working there, you know. So it was like, I had no doubt she was telling the truth because there's no other way she could have known. To this day, I could go over in my head, there's no other way she could have known but the Lord.
Okay, okay.
So,
wow, yeah. Wow. And I'm glad that you made mention of that, because for the moms and the dads that will listen to this, they can be encouraged to know that Jesus will snitch.
He will.
When they start,
he will tell
praying,
on us.
When they start praying and asking God about their baby. And I know I'm laughing and we're making it sound comical, but that's serious. To know that when you begin to pray, Mama, and when you begin to pray, Daddy, oh, and don't let the two of you all pray together. You
right.
all have just got Jesus' attention. Deja done told you all that when y'all start talking to Jesus, he going to tell y'all where your baby at. So that in itself,
if you really
want to
know, he will tell you. Because we were
so
not talking at the time at all.
Okay, so even though Jesus told on me, even though he told me, I just so love that. I'm going to have to use that when I'm talking to somebody. So even though Jesus told on you, did your mom and dad ever show up to where you were?
No. No. Nope. They didn't ever show where I was. But, you know, my mom, she always seemed to call right on time, though.
Okay, let's talk again. Talk about that.
Well, I didn't talk to my mom. We didn't talk for a long time. I think maybe like 2 years went by, and she called me up one day, and she told me about a dream or something that she had. And
okay.
It was like, I don't know, like it was just a right on time moment. Like, you see people with their dads, or you see people with their moms, and you're like, you know, I want that, or I used to have that, or whatnot, and then your mom comes back and she tells you, you know, I may not have always done my best, you know, but I've done what I thought was right. And you
yeah.
I don't know, something about that, because you come on now, you can't stand your parents growing up. You hate everything about them, because you feel like they against you and done you wrong, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But when you hear
mm-hmm.
something like that, and you hear that, I'm proud of you, and you're right, I might not have been perfect, but I made sure you were taken care of, you had everything you needed. That stuff right there is like, oh, you actually did love me. Yeah, you like me? So, I mean, it's certain moments in life that pull you back and brings you in, and it brings you to the person that you are at that point in time, or that you are that day, you know, so... A lot of prayer, a lot of snitching, and a lot of tears, and, you know, pulling through, and we good now.
Yeah.
We're good.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Me and my mom, we're inseparable.
Uh-huh.
So me and my mom now, we're inseparable. So, you know, I had to go through
yeah.
it, you know, in order to see what she went through, you know, because she had a similar backstory. And, you know, I think I'm grown. I think I got all the answers. Well, I didn't. Now I know I didn't.
Mm.
And we can talk about it, you know, so we good now.
Awesome. I'm telling you, see, I even got emotional when you was talking about your phone call. I even got emotional. And that was all how many years ago? But still, you know, because every parent right now that's listening, you were once where your child or your children are, and you didn't like your parents and everything they told you either. And if you would just admit that, then you can begin to understand where your child or your children are coming from. But because you're grown now, and don't ask me no questions, just do what I say kind of thing. Notice Deja
yeah.
said she was gone 2 years, 2 years, and got a phone call. Basically, it was a I love you phone call. That's basically what that was. I just want you to know that I love you. You know, Mama didn't do everything, you know, to Deja's liking all the time, but she made sure that Deja didn't go without it. But Deja wanted to do Deja. That's every child, whether male or female. I don't care who you are. And I think one of the things is, as parents, it's so easy to lose sight is so easy because you have had to be a parent. Now, I'm not saying you need to be your child's best friend. I don't agree with that. That's just me. I mean, I don't have any children, but trust me, I didn't grow up with my mama as my best friend. But you can believe me and my mama can talk today. Now, we ain't always been close either, like Deja saying. We haven't always been close. But we are now. And I get what Deja's saying. I do. And so for the most part, parents, I want to go back to the 2-year span that Deja went without talking to her mom. Her mom didn't give up. She continued to pray. It wasn't just a one-time prayer. But Deja's mom continued to pray for her. And then, you know, with Jesus snitching on her and everything, you know, so then I'm home. I just told y'all that, you know, right. Jesus snitching thing. And so, and then with her calling Deja, you know, and letting her know that she loved her and whatever, it brought Deja into a place of reality. Now, parents, I need you all to hear this. Because had not Deja's mom had that moment of reality with Deja, the very things that Deja witnessed the other women experience at the hands of pimps and people that were paying for services with them, it could have very well happened to her. But it didn't, because her mama was praying, her daddy was praying. And thank God her brothers didn't know, because they probably would have blew up the club. Ain't no telling. Because y'all know how the brothers are by their own sister. And so the fact that her parents did not let her, you know, going to Jesus, you know, and everything. So I really think that that's something that needs to be paid attention to, parents. Is no matter how frustrated you may feel or how exhausting it may seem, or, you know, like you're praying and it seems like nothing is happening, Deja is proof. She is proof. Even though she didn't find out until later about her parents praying, but still she's living and found out. And so,
and
no,
also,
this is not,
I would just
uh-huh,
like to throw in there. I would just like to throw in there. I know this is probably not a Christian radio show or anything like that, and that's fine. But I just want to throw in there, any parents who raise their kids up how they're supposed to go, that really does stick. When I tell you,
yeah,
I was in some situations that I knew I shouldn't have been in, that feeling you don't belong here, or that vibe, or that there's,
yeah,
something in there that says you don't belong here, or get out, or go. That really does stay with your child. Now, do we always listen to that feeling? No, we don't, and we probably hit our head harder than we should. But that we know what's right. We know what's wrong.
Yeah.
And at some point, we're going to sit in the middle of the floor and look at our life and where we were and who we are now, who we want to be, and that's when we're going to turn,
yeah,
back and be like, I'm sorry.
All right now.
So,
all right.
That is,
I love
real.
That.
Those moments are real.
Yeah. Thank you. Because you know what? Strap Chat Radio, the platform is not Christian-based. It's not worldly-based. It's a platform about raising awareness and prevention against sex trafficking. Because sex trafficking doesn't care anything about your religion or the lack thereof. All they know is you are a money attractor to them. That's all they know. But because your parents or your family members or your granny, you know, for the grandmothers that raise their grandkids and they stray away, you know you brought them up right. You know you did. So now you got to trust Jesus to snitch on your grandchildren and to tell you what's going on with them. But never in what Deja shared did she say Jesus told her mama and her daddy to show up where she was, because I did ask, did they ever show up? And they did not. So don't try to say Jesus told you to go right now to the club, because if Jesus didn't tell you to do that, you know, then only Jesus know what the outcome going to be. But I'm just saying, you know, but I love that. So even for the religious, you know, those who serve God, they, you are the more should have the faith and the patience in knowing that God gonna come through. You out of everybody should know that and not give up. I love it. I love it. Deja, thank you. Oh my God, thank you. And I'm enjoying this. We gotta do this again. I don't know when, but I'm enjoying this. And so so now let me ask you this, Miss Deja. You already told us about, you know, your firstborn, you know, and you were like, no, my baby's not going to be in this. But you're not just a mom of one. So obviously, at the conception of the firstborn and mama calling you and saying, I love you, that's when things started to change for you. Am I right?
Yes. We have some rocky moments still, because, you know, at that point, you know, I'm still only like maybe 20, you know, and mom wants to be around, but mom still is going to be mom, and 20-year-old Deja still wants to do what 21-year-old Deja do, you know. So we had some rocky moments, and we end up stop talking again, and I was pregnant with my oldest one. I can't even remember why we stopped talking. It was so long ago, none and void now, but she didn't even know I was in labor. My dad called her and told her that I was in labor. She called me at the hospital, and she cussed me out. My blood pressure went up, you know. They told the doctor, say, you can't talk to her right now. So, you know, those great memories. And ever since then, my mom, she offered me a place to stay, me and my boyfriend at the time, or my son's dad. She offered us a place to stay because we were having some rocky times. So I moved in with her to Atlanta, Georgia, and stayed there with her. And it's been good ever since. You know, we have our family styles like we like any family, but for the most part, we are inseparable. You can't tell me nothing about her. Like, she's like, I wish you would talk about my mom, you know. So we had some rocky moments, but there were some growing pains worth growing and going through. I can tell you that.
I love it. I love it. And again, I really hope that you all are listening, because now she kept it real and she let y'all know, just because mama called and said hello and Jesus snitched and all that and I love you, it did look, there was still something there, still some tension, but today it's not there. So basically, in you can hear what Deja's saying. You still have some things that you have to work out. So parents, don't think that the moment you call and say I love you that everything gonna turn around 360 in the moment. It's not. We talking real life, not television
still,
show.
To be real, there are some things that parents don't want to admit they did to us, and there's some things that we don't want to admit that we did to our parents. So a lot of times,
yes,
until that is clear, There ain't no coming together in a reconciliation. Because my mom could have denied stuff for a long time. And in my mind, it's just like, you can't own up to nothing. You know what I'm saying? Or how can we be good or move forward if you can't even acknowledge you hurt me? You know what I'm saying? So there are some times where, we were good. But my mom probably didn't acknowledge that she did something until maybe like 5 years ago. I'm like 30-something. I was 20-something then. I mean, 19, 20 then. So you see how long we're good. We don't argue. But it took time for that to come in, for that actual healing to take place. You know, it does take time. It does take some time, but it's some growing pains. And it takes years of happening, and it's definitely not overnight. I don't want anyone to feel like they're so perfect. I'm the parent, so I know what's best. Because I have a parent now, I know that, especially, you know, women, you know, we have that one time a month where we really crazy. So I know that sometimes I may not talk to my son the best way that I need to talk to him. You know, instead of apologizing, I just blow over it, you know, like, he'll be all right. No, sometimes as parents, we need to be like, I'm sorry, son. I didn't mean to talk to you like that. Because that scarred me growing up. As an adult now, like, there's certain things I went through. I don't raise my kids that way, because you know how it made you feel, and you know the lasting impression that it's going to have on you. So you try to be better, which is what you're supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to try to be better than your parents. They weren't perfect, but they did their best, and we know that. Now we're moving on, you know? So I'm not trying to say anybody was perfect, because we're not. But a lot of times, parents, I feel like we need to apologize and own up sometimes. That doesn't make it seem weak, I don't feel like, because at the same time, my son, he won't talk back to me. He'll say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But at the same time, he'll be like, Mom, you hurt my feelings. If it's a legit thing and you got your case to plead to me and I hurt your feelings, I'm apologize for that. I didn't mean what I said, but I didn't mean to say it that way. You know what I'm saying? So it's a growing thing.
Yeah.
You got to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you said a mouthful in that portion you just said. You said a mouthful there because every party involved needs to acknowledge where they were wrong. No, not everything that was on each party's side was wrong. Not everything was wrong, but just acknowledge the hurt, you know, and the things that you say. Because most of the time, you know, and Deja, you're right, most of the time we say things that we know is going to hurt. We know it. That's why we said it. And then we got to, you know, eat crow. Have to go back and apologize. But nonetheless,
exactly.
And I really want everybody to get the gist of basically in Deja's story, because of her mom and her dad still being giving her life from the prayer standpoint, she never made it on end like the other girls that she witnessed and danced on and shared the same stage with. She didn't end up like them. She was able to get out. And it wasn't because, you know, she basically got out because she had some unseen help. Let me just put it that way. She did have some unseen help. When she became a mom herself, that's when she put her foot down and said no. Now, I'm not saying that every daughter will experience that, because there are some that share that exotic stage that are moms and their babies are with a babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
So not everybody can walk away the way that Deja did. And so that's what brings me to the next guest. Because some of the kids that, hold on a second, I didn't mean to mute you, Deja. Some of the kids that, that didn't make it out, they continued into the wrong lifestyle, and they ended up where they really did not want to be when they got some of them didn't even make it out to teenage years. And so with that being noted, is the reason why I'm bringing Myron Mitchell up on the line, because he's the former corrections officer that worked in a juvenile detention facility. There's probably more than one, if I'm not mistaken. But Mr. Myron, good evening.
Good evening. How's everybody
thank
doing?
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here.
We having a good time with Miss Deja. I'm telling you, man. Be careful with Deja. <I
see. laughs> Hey, it was a wonderful story. It was definitely a wonderful story. And,
wow.
You know, I can definitely piggyback off of what she was saying as it relates to the healing process. And, but most importantly, when you mentioned about when her being able to walk away so easy, it's not always easy with everybody. And, and that's probably the part that I was able to witness firsthand, and even to see the aftermath of what it can do to you on that side.
Okay. So do share with us what experience did you have, because I know that the youth you dealt with were, and some of them may still be incarcerated. You know,
right.
Not everybody was able to walk out of what they were doing wrong. So what were some of your encounters with the ones that did not make it out?
Well, I got many to kind of harp on, but one in particular that stands out, and this kid really got, he latched on to me. He was 17 years old, And when he arrived, this is at this facility where most of the kids that was kind of like high risk or where they was more like a escape risk or they may be at risk of doing something that they really don't have no business doing. But this kid, he basically he was involved. He was like a pimp. And he expressed that to me. It was, you know, just over conversation, and he had been kind of crying out for help. But his cry for help was through his behavior. He would act up. He would want to fight, and he would have this aggression. And so that drew me to him to try to channel his aggression in a positive light. I had to kind of positively talk to him and. But it's most importantly, when we did talk, he began to express himself and tell me what really took place. And one of the things that really stood out to me was when he would say that he had teenage girls. It was like 12, 13, and he would take them to a hotel to have sex, and it'll be for it was for money. It was for monetary gain. And when I heard that, I thought this was like the strangest thing to hear from a kid that's 17 years old. Like, you grown, he sounded older than me. You know, at least that's how I felt at that time. So, you know, of course I had to gear myself up for what's being said, because you don't know what's getting ready to take place. Of course, over the conversation, he mentioned that his mom – was on drugs. His sister was in prostitution, and so it looked like it was a generational thing that had been going on. With him, and looked like it revolves around drugs, lack of support from parents. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of factors that come into play. That kid, he really expressed himself, and it kind of made me sensitive to his situation, and so I began to pay attention, and I thought about all the other kids out there that don't even express themselves. It's like they're locked in a box that they can't really speak. I'm silent. The world don't know what's going on, but I got something going on in this box. And, you know, if I had to encourage anybody out there, I would definitely encourage you to speak, talk to somebody, and get to somebody quick, because it's a dangerous thing to be locked in a box and nobody know you're there.
Yes. Okay, now I really appreciate something that you have just said. Because there are some parents that also need to realize that if you have, you know, those things going on in your family where family members are dependent on some type of alcohol or some type of drug, you know, something of that nature, like you said, it sounds generational. You're right, because if that is something that is very much alive within the family, that is something that child has learned how to turn to in order to cope with whatever's going on inside of them. And so the fact that kid's way of, and thank God that you were able to even understand what the child was saying through lashing out, you know, because not everybody can understand when somebody has a behavioral issue that you don't just slap them on medication. They are really crying out for help. But that's not the case in the world we live in today. They want to slap everybody on some type of a medication or drug just, you know, to calm them down or slow them down. I remember when I was coming up in school, every child had, even if you said something back to a teacher or whatever, they slap you on Ritalin. Everybody needs Ritalin. But because the kid doesn't really know how to express themselves, they do it by acting out. And so in your position as a CO, you recognize that. That is awesome. So this kid, and this kid, that he was a pimp,
Yes, not only did he admit it, but he took pride in doing it because that's his only form, that was his only way of feeding his family. Because his mom wasn't there, his dad wasn't there, sister was a prostitute, and his brother was, you know, he was much younger, but he had to do what he had to do to survive. And I think most kids, you know, it definitely is a decision that they have to make, but some fall into that category where they have to do what they have to do to survive. And in his case, that's what it was.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's
wow.
Definitely a devastating thing when, you know, the aftermath is, I got all this anger built up inside of me. I don't know what to do. If I act out, maybe somebody will notice me, and maybe somebody will give me the time of day to even speak. You know, and
yeah.
So this kid,
yeah.
what got me the most and what hurt me the most is now to this day, he's in prison because he went out and he murdered somebody.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, and it's definitely, it's not a happy ending, but, you know, it can
okay.
easily be a happy ending, you know, in the end, you know, and now we dive into the spiritual arena, and I'm, you know, these are, I am going to say this, on the religious
okay.
side, I believe that somebody will come and lead him to Christ.
Okay.
You know,
yes.
Because
yes.
of the seeds that was, I feel like I planted a seed that
okay.
got into some good soil, and it's gonna come up. So I definitely
yes.
believe that it's gonna manifest itself in him over the time. But it looked what it did to get to that point. You know, so it can register
wow.
him and really. It,
wow.
it was dormant. It had to come out somewhere. So, but I'm grateful
wow.
that I was there to even just hear his story
yeah.
and have a few words of encouragement.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Awesome. You know what? To those of you that are listening, first of all, the common thread, and I've used this term already once today. The common thread between Deja and her experience and Myron and his experience is Jesus was in there. Snitching or not, he was in there. And so the fact that whether you want to say you're a Christian or not, or you're just not ready to become a Christian, but you believe that God is real. You know what? Pray. Pray. Because prayer helps. It doesn't hurt. It helps. And the fact that when you pray, Jesus will put somebody in your child's path. Somebody, even if Jesus has to use a correctional officer. Because not every correctional officer in there don't believe. So for the believers that listen, come on, get back on your knees. And I don't mean literally, but if that's how you pray, then you do that. But basically all I'm saying is it's time for you to come back to prayer. And for those of you that feel like you don't know how to pray, listen, you can always call Strap Chat. You can always call. And you know what? I will volunteer to pray with you. I'll give you a number where you can reach me, 313-7327. Please, by all means. I won't judge you. That's not my place. But I want to help you. And any way that you need somebody to pray for you because you don't feel like, you know how to pray, and so many times it's like, you know, I don't think God hear me because I have done so many bad things. Baby, God will hear you. He'll hear us. That's what I'm saying to you. Don't leave your baby out there like that, because not every child will make it out like Deja made it out. And Myron made that very clear. And maybe if that young man had gotten some help before he was incarcerated. But there are some that make it out of incarceration. He did make it out. But when he made it out, he took a life because he didn't have anything else to fall back on or anyone else to lean on. Don't give up on them. Our youth today, they need love. They need support. They need to know that there is somebody that will not give up on them. Will you be that somebody? I know we see on television all the time, you know, big brother, big sister, you know, kind of stuff. Why don't you be one to somebody? You don't have to join an organization to do it. I remember coming up that if I got snitched on and popped or whatever by a neighbor in the neighborhood, I was going to give up a high job at home too. But back then, the people showed that they cared. And now, sometimes if you look side-eyed at a child, they want to call CPS. Really? They're calling the police. Or they want to take you to court because they don't want you to be their parent no more. That's the craziest thing. But it's happening. But so many of our youth are incarcerated today, and they were in that lifestyle of sex trafficking, and they didn't make it out. And maybe the only thing that that prolonged their life to this degree to where they are incarcerated is the fact that they are. Maybe that's the only thing that they're saving them right now. And somebody can still reach them. For all of you, not former correctional officers, whether you are male or female, but what if you're still in the field? Are you willing to try to mentor somebody that's in there? Come on. You don't have to take a class on mentoring. Just think back to your own childhood. When you didn't get everything you wanted, and you had your moments, and you and your parents fell out, and you knew you had to get that thing together because, you know, sleeping outside in the backyard or whatever, that don't last too long. You know, mosquitoes in the summer and lizards and all kinds of stuff. I'm saying it comically because that's how it was when I was growing up. And they ain't going to let you get in the car to sleep. So you got to find somewhere to sleep. So now you're trying to find a friend house to go spend the night to. And then you're going to lie. And you know you got nowhere else to go. Come on. Stop and think. You've been there. Will you have compassion? Will you show love? Will you humble yourself, basically? Will you admit that you were wrong, that or the way you said it was too harsh? Can you do that so that you don't lose your child even more? And for the grannies that are raising their daughters or their sons' babies, come on, granny. Come on, pawpaw, because that's what they call y'all today. It's when I was coming up, your granddad. So I encourage you, be there for somebody else. I am Nancy Pless. Thank you, Deja and Myron, for joining me on this evening. Hey, we've had a great time on tonight. Yes, thank you so much, Deja.
For inviting
Deja,
you really me.
Oh, you are welcome. We're going to have you on again.
Anytime.
Oh, my God. So much.
It was a
thank
pleasure, and
so
I enjoyed it.
Awesome. So to those of you that are listening, you know what? Stay safe. Stay home. Mentor a child, even if it's your own household. From Strap Chat Radio, thank you for joining. Have an awesome week until we meet again on next Saturday.
Thank you for tuning in to our program today. Join us every other week as we continue to bring you intense conversations on topics affecting our youth today. Please help us remain a powerful force within the community by donating towards this programming at www.strapcampaign.com.